It's Garden Talk with Noel. I don't know about your lawn. Mine looks incredibly brown, and there's parts of the garden that just look, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Dan,
what is going on?
Dan, you're not alone.
I'm not alone?
You're not alone, Dan. I pretty much can say that I'd say half, if not three quarters, of North Otago, if not more than that, are experiencing the same thing. We are in desperate need of some really good rain. Mm. I'm a little bit jealous because Dunedin received some rain recently, and I think we could do with some of that.
Right.
We all need a good drenching in our gardens right now. And what's happening, and this tends to happen in cycles, I find, and it is not uncommon to experience this at this time of the year, but it's extending a little bit more.
Mm.
Usually by now, we've had a couple of good downpours, okay, before our frosts are starting, but our frosts are going to hit us a little earlier this year, and that puts extra pressure on our gardens and extra stress on our plants. So right now with the lawns, I wouldn't be concerned about the lawn as such. Lawn has an amazing way of coming back from the brink of death. It
yeah.
can look dry, it can look brown, it can literally look dead. But after a good shower, then all of a sudden, new growth starts to spring in a few days' time and our lawns turn green again. And then what are we doing? We're out in the lawnmower, you know.
The only thing that's actually growing there at the moment seem to be the dandelions.
Yes.
And those are probably, I don't know, seven or 8 inches high.
And they are doing well because they have very deep tap roots that,
right.
can tap down deeper into the soil substrate. Grass roots are relatively shallow, so that's the reason why your grass is looking dry. And that's the reason why probably most listeners' grass is looking not as happy. Mine's exactly the same.
Right.
I'm with the thought, though, that I don't believe in wasting our precious resource called water just to keep our lawns green, you know. And I think there are going to be some people out there that would like to do that, but I don't think it's that needed.
Mm.
What's more needed right now is to encourage that soil that the grass is growing in to accept the water that is going to come or the water that we're throwing. So when soil is expected to dry out for too long in between showers, rains, whatever, the soil particles change. And a light drizzle, you might think, oh, that's lovely, but believe it or not, it doesn't sink into the soil.
It's not going anywhere.
And if you get even if you get rain for an hour, it's very difficult for that soil to accept water. So it often pools away because it becomes semi-hydrophobic, or basically water repellent, so to speak. And because of that, the water goes elsewhere and doesn't actually stay. So what can we do? We can look at the grass and think, okay, look at our lawns and go, okay, just pick the driest parts possible, because some parts of our lawn or our grass and our soil will be opening up into fissures, into cracks.
Yeah.
And I'm experiencing that right now. So you can use a wetting agent on the top of that. It looks a little bit like a granular wetting agent. You can use liquid wetting agents, but I find the granular ones work well. They work exceptionally well when it's about to rain, or you can even apply it while it's raining.
Okay.
Because it saves you having to turn on the hose or the sprinkler as well. And this encourages the soil to accept water. You can go in there and do a little bit of raking, take away any extra thatch that may have happened over the summertime with dead grass, and that exposes the soil surface for that water to fall on and then be absorbed. So there are little things like that you can do. You can throw on some, you can put holes in using your garden fork, but I find the wetting agent, the granular wetting agent, does work the best.
So you just cast it out, do you?
Just cast it out. You don't have to be too heavy-handed with it. But if you've got some areas that are more brown than others, maybe target those ones first. Look at the lay of your land and look to see where the water would flow. So if you're on a slope, obviously the lowest part will be the greenest part because that's where the water is retained the longest. So you may want to concentrate on the highest part possible if that's what you have at home. And you'll find that that over time will certainly help. In fact, it won't take that long. It'll actually take a couple of showers after putting the wetting agent on, and then that you'll find the greening will start to occur. The downside, though, of all this extra stress that's happening on our soils is that there are issues where older style plants have been accustomed to, well, regularly being watered.
Right.
And as plants become older, we become just that little bit complacent with how often we do water them ourselves by hand, because we think, oh, they've got a strong enough root system, they can cope with themselves. But plants such as conifers, for instance, they have a shallow root system, many of the dwarf conifers, and they've taken a while to grow.
Mm.
So those dwarf conifers with the shallow root systems are feeling the extra amount of stress going on right now with that dry going on. There's not enough water to come there, and they are browning off.
Mm.
Now, I've had a few people come into the store and show me pictures of their conifers. It's a little bit heartbreaking because I don't really have any fantastic news for them, because when it comes to conifers deciding to leave this earth, there's not a lot you can do. You can't prune them back.
Right.
You can increase the watering, of course, but and see if that can help. But anything that's going brown and dry or brittle will not usually come back with lush growth, and that's where the disappointment is going to be.
Mm.
So take a look at, I'm going to suggest that people take a closer look at some of their larger plants in the garden, especially moisture loving plants. Michaelias are one of them, magnolias are another one of those as well. So they don't like to be dry for too long, and even though they may have been in the ground 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 years, we often think, yeah, that plant can fend for itself, and it has in the past, but we've had a very, very, very long dry spell that we've had to deal with, and we just don't know how much longer that dry spell is going to be. The rain seems to be moving around us right now. So we need to think drought, and we need to think, how can we keep our plants looking nice and green? The easiest thing to do is to give them some extra hand watering if you can. Do a little bit of mulch, use a bit of wetting agent around their roots so the soil can accept that moisture as well. And a little bit of mulch, but not too much. Not heavy mulch, just no higher than about 5 to 6 centimetres deep. That will still allow water to get through, but it'll also conserve and retain the moisture for longer within that top layer of soil. And that's where most of those root systems are. Citrus are another one. They really can suffer in these dry times. So it's an important thing that we can do. We all want the rain, and it will come, and when it does come, we'll forget about all the troubles that we've had, because things will start to look nice and lush again.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, go out and have a look at your garden. See which plants are struggling, which plants are okay. Make a note of those and see what you can do just around those particular plants. And I highly suggest you do it, because losing a 10-year-old plant in your garden is not a nice thing. You're left with a gaping hole that tree, shrub, whatever it might have been, filled beautifully, and you'll have to start all over again. And in the process of that, the soil structure there would also have changed.
Yeah. With regards to some of those plants that have died, what's the best way of dealing with those?
Well, the best way is to chop them down. Chop them down or pull them out if they don't have a big root system. And that way then you can find that you can maybe wait until times are better and look at putting another species of plant in there, preferably not the same, but something that has a little bit extra resilience to those conditions. Because those conditions, remember, will also be dependent on the surrounding plants of that area. You may have some large trees that have grown up with those other ones, and they've got larger root systems, so they take up the moisture faster. So you may need to look at changing the species there a little bit more. And then we can help guide you, as long as people come in with the right information. Take photographs of things that are bothering them, for instance.
Yeah.
That's a sort of a really good way of us seeing directly what's happening, and then we can guide people to some good choices that they can then get their gardens back up again.
And have an idea of scale as well. Don't confuse feet for meters or vice versa.
We often know how to translate that anyway. Yeah. So it's not all doom and gloom, but it is a time where we can really look at what we have and see how we can overcome them. Because if we can overcome them and understand our situation, you'll find that the plants will also overcome them as well, and they'll just keep benefiting from what we can do.
Very cool. Good stuff. Good advice as always.
Thank you, Dan.
And if you do have a question for Noel, then fire it through to us. Gardentalk.nz is the website. You can find all the podcasts from the series on there. Noel, we'll catch up again next week.
Great, Dan. Bye.